What's going on, guys? James Camacho here. This is Kicking It With Camacho. Hope you're doing well, guys. Hope you had a fantastic Easter. I didn't know it was Easter this past weekend. Did anyone else? Like, I think this is the first time Easter was in March, right? When was the last time Easter? And I got to be honest, like, I looked it up before the podcast, and apparently Easter falls on the first Sunday following the full moon after the spring equinox, which in 2024 is on March 31st. Now, I don't know what that means about moons, spring. I know about full. I'm full right now, full of shit. Oh, I cursed already. We're supposed to be clean. But yeah, it was in March, and I was like, it was the first time. But you know, there's a lot. You know, there's a first for everything, as the virgins say. You know, there's going to be a Easter in March. There's going to be, I don't know, first what? What is there going to be a first of? I don't know. By the way, can you guys see Bulba? Bulba is resting right next to me. He knows when I do the podcast, it's perfect time to take nappies because, I got this monotone voice. I got this, I got nothing to talk. This is just like falling asleep to a lullaby. Right, buddy? Oh, he's so cute. Anyways, guys, so it's good to be here. I'm pretty sure I got the screen fixed. My TV reset recently for God knows what reason. I think the cats were jumping around and they like unplugged it by accident. So all the settings reset. So I think it's good. Hopefully it doesn't shut off and on again. If it does, I'll just I'll be mad. And you know what I should do? If the screen goes black again, I should, like, you ever see those, like, videos of people when they're watching football or sports and they, they lose and then, like, they lose their mind and they just start, like, they just throw something at the TV or they literally just pick up the TV from the wall and just, like, chuck it against the wall, you know, and just start stomping it, you know? Maybe I'll do one of those, right? That's ridiculous. Dude, there's, like, as entertaining as it is to watch those videos, if someone did that to my TV, like, for sure, that person would never be invited to my house again. You know, it's just like, how can you just... I've never looked at a TV and thought I should destroy it, you know? Because obviously, if you're watching sports and your team doesn't win, you're mad. But do you really think you punching the screen, you picking up the TV and chucking it across the room, is that going to get... Like, they're not going to hear that. They're not going to feel your... Like, what is the animalistic... dumb. All you're doing is just burning like $1,000, you know, depending on the TV. You could have like a small TV, could be a couple $100, you know. But yeah, it's just like I don't know, like I watch those and it's entertaining because you just see someone lose their mind, but it's also kind of sad, you know. It's kind of like seeing someone crap their pants. You're just like, oh, that poor thing, you know, can't control himself. Anyways, I hope you guys had a great weekend. I had a pretty fun one. I had a couple drinks yesterday, so I'm a bit sluggish. I don't know how people my age, because I'm 30, right? And still everyone's like, let's black out this weekend. Let's go out. Let's day drink. It's Saturday, brunch, yada, yada, yada. I mean, I know I'm like, I my tolerance probably isn't high, and I'm a very healthy guy now, but it's like, I don't know how people function, you know? It's like I had 3 drinks yesterday, and like I came home. And, like, I wasn't, like, stumbling around and stuff. But, dude, I just felt so uncomfortable. And I had, like, a huge steak. So, like, I just was, like, I had food coma. I couldn't move. I couldn't, like, breathe. I was, like the alcohol is just, like, I don't know. Like, I stink. Like, I used to get so in my head when I was with my ex. And even now, like, when I date, it's just, like, because, you know, when you date, you go to, you get a couple of drinks in you. And I always just feel so sluggish and tired. And I'm, like, man, it's, like... Okay, so we're going to have these drinks, we're going to have a great date, but like, I can't, like, if you want to do the thing, I'm out. I'm too tired, you know? Does that make me gay? It doesn't. But anyways, I'm seeing someone now, wink, wink, and I kind of communicated to her that I'd like to do some sober dates, so like, I can be like all there, you know, at the end of the night. you know, all there, all here, all there. So, yeah, we talked about, you know, maybe like doing like a workouts date, you know, do like a cold plunge after. That could be fun. Anyways, all right, we're getting too personal here. Oh, I love rubbing belly. I love rubbing your belly. So soft. Anyways, guys, so quapple. What am I, a 2-year-old child? A quapple quick update on my goals this week. My watch hours are at 2,847. For anyone watching for the podcast for the first time, I always have to remember we have repeat people and we might have new people out there. I have a couple goals in my career right now and just life in general that every week I update the fans. I am trying to get 4,000 hours of watch time to monetize my YouTube channel, and this week we hit 2,847. We're almost there, guys. We're almost at 3,000, which is the first tier of monetization, and then but my real goal is the 4,000. So, guys, keep watching, keep subscribing. Not that you're not doing that already. I really appreciate it. Keep watching, liking, commenting, subscribing. Share with a friend you think might be into this. And my other goal that you guys may or may not know, if you're new or not to the podcast, is my bench press goal. My goal is 225 pounds. I want to bench press that. I benched. Boy, when did I bench? I think it was Saturday or Friday. No, Friday. I went to the... No, was it? It was Saturday I bench pressed. I put up 215 pounds, I think, for 2 reps. Yeah, 2 reps. Usually when I hit a new personal record, lately I've been like... It's been like I'll hit that record, the new PR, and then I'll be like able to do 3-4 more reps after. I'm like, wow, this is great. But like, you know, too fitless, I have to remember to like, you know, take it week by week, rep by rep. I did 215 for one, and it felt great. I was like, let's go again. And I did the 215 after, and like, I got it up. That's what she said. But there was a bit of like a, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. So, you know, as I approach 220, which will probably be Wednesday, hopefully, fingers crossed, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I try to go up 5 pounds a week. But recently, I actually been going up 5 pounds every bench press session, and I bench 2 days a week. So I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm gonna be patient. I'm gonna feel it out. Hopefully, I can get to 220 on Wednesday, and then after that, I normally bench every 3 days. So it would be Saturday, but I'm flying to Houston Saturday. To do the secret group, which you guys should get tickets to this Saturday, April 6th. So when I travel, I usually just take a day off. And then, you know, if I travel back on Sunday, with the travel, sometimes it's really tough. And also like, I don't like benching. I don't like working out when I'm like kind of travel weary. Cause like, I'm just not going to get the best workout. So might have to wait until Monday to bench again after that. But if I can get 220 this week and get that rest, that'll be great. Rest is such a big deal, man. It's hard for me to take rest because I'm super like, I want to get my goals, and I'm like, obviously, like I'm chomping at the bit. But I took a day off yesterday from working out, and I worked out today, and man, like I just stretched yesterday. I should stretch a little bit today too because I'm a bit sore from squatting today. But yeah, I took a day off. I just stretched, and like I went to the gym today. I felt great. So, and like, you know, I could, my workout was way more productive. So. Yeah, so, you know, hopefully when I'm talking to you guys again, which will be next Tuesday, unless you're a Patreon member, then it will be Friday. Hopefully, I could be at 225 by the next time, next Tuesday. So that'll be very exciting. Quickly, before we get into the podcast, guys, like I said, Houston, April 6th this weekend. Come please see me live. Houston, let's sell some tickets. After that, I'm going to be in Nassau, Bahamas at the Atlantis Resort. I don't know how many people are out there, but April 22nd to May 5th, I'm doing shows, I think, every night. And then Kenosha Comedy Club in Kenosha, Wisconsin, May 17th, 18th. McKinney, Texas, May 31st to June 1st. I'm returning there to the Comedy Arena. Gilbert, Arizona, June 7th, 8th. Please come out to that. That club, it's like, as fun as it is, it's a very conservative area. So sometimes it's, you know how it's conservative. A lot of yeehaws, you know, so we can get, let's get some, I don't know, maybe it's all conservatives that even watch this podcast. Who knows? But just come out. If I can sell some tickets, they'll be happy. And then I'm doing this one night at the Honda Casino in Pine Top, Arizona, June 10th. That's going to be sad. I don't like casino gigs, but hey, I need the money. And then big announcement, just announced. This is my first time announcing it to the public. I'm going to be headlining my home club where I went to school, where I grew up, the Stress Factory Comedy Club in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Every time I do the podcast, I feel like I just get this magical lisp out of nowhere. But Saturday, June 27th, I'm at the Stress Factory Comedy Club. This is the first time I'm announcing it publicly. So I'm announcing on the podcast, which means 27 people are going to hear about this. But yeah, that one, let's sell that out. That's a huge club. If you guys saw my clips, I have like a green shirt on, like a green North Face Supreme shirt. If you saw those stand-up clips where I think one of them was like, I was telling this is a black Jamaican lady. It's that club. It seats like 200, 300 people. Let's freaking sell it out. Homecoming, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, we'll be very annoying about that specific show in the upcoming weeks. But guys, those are my tour dates. Please come see me live and help me feed my cats. All right. So let's move on to some quick, we got a lot of questions this week, which is super awesome, but let's quickly go through some of these news articles. These are, you know, I was producing the podcast and I got to admit, some of these are very dark and sad and, you know, but that's kind of the news in a nutshell, right? It's really just a reminder of how just awful the world is. But here's it. Let's start off light. Let's start off with a light topic. So let's see here. Mike Tyson is fighting Jake Paul, by the way. That's not what the news article is, but just in case you guys didn't know, he's fighting Jake Paul, I think on Netflix, which is going to be crazy. Mike Tyson selling edibles shaped like a chewed ear, and now you can get them in New York. So New York weed shops are stocking their shelves with Mike Tyson branded edibles shaped like an ear with a bite mark. A callback to Iron Mike's heavyweight showdown with Evander Holyfield. So I believe I'm not a big boxing guy. Obviously, I wasn't around when he fought Holyfield, but I'm pretty sure he bit his ear off. Is that right? So it's like a tribute to that fight where he bit this guy's ear off. They're called Mike's Bites, and Mike Tyson is planning a promotional blitz at shops next week, including an event in Times Square, a spokesperson told the New York Post. This is via the New York Post, by the way. But the gummies have already appeared in dispensaries in Farmingdale, Housing Wars, Greenwich Village, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then Mike Tyson says in a statement, growing up in Brooklyn, I could have never imagined a time when cannabis would be legally utilized to enhance both mental and physical well-being. Yet, here we are, witnessing the incredible progress. That's freaking hilarious, man. So this is what happened. In 1997, July 28th, 1997, WBA title fight. Tyson famously gnawed Holyfield's ear as they clinched during the fight. A move that got him disqualified. Yeah, that's kind of funny, you know? That's amazing. Like, you bite someone's ear off, and you're so famous and so respected that they make edible gummies of a bite. That's got to be lit, man. Like, Tyson's probably like, I don't know, like, to get that big and famous where you can, like, I don't know, make products like that. Like, I have merch, right? I have, like, these, like, wristbands I sell after shows. But, you know, they're not that big of a deal. But can you imagine if I got so famous? I don't know, like, just, like, what product would I make that's kind of, like, based off, like, I don't know, what I do? Man, I've never done anything like gnawed someone's ear off, you know? I don't know. It's just, I just think that was like, that's very interesting. He's got a weed. What are my vices? Let's see. Let's start there. What are my vices? I mean, I guess smoking weed's not a vice, but I don't smoke weed. I don't drink, as I, you know, stated earlier. Drinking makes me fall apart. I don't do any hard drugs. Comedy's my addiction. But, yeah. So, I guess, like, I don't know. Wouldn't it be great if you had, like, a cocaine, like a strain? There's no strains of cocaine. Like, I don't know. It'd be fun if you had like a hard drug name after you, you know? Just get that famous to a point where it's like, I don't know. I got nothing on here. I'm not a pothead. I just thought this was kind of interesting. Mike Tyson has these have you guys done edibles, by the way? Edibles are like, it's so weird. Like, if I smoke weed, I'm like high, I'm paranoid. I literally can't do anything. I have to like curl up in bed and like watch a movie, or like, I don't know. I literally think like people around me are like looking at me, thinking the worst of me. You know, I just start thinking negative. Like anything, like I start like, because I'm a big like to-do list guy, right? But when I'm high, I'll think of my like my to-do list, and like I'll just get overwhelmed. It could be anything as small as like, you know, do your laundry. I'm just like, oh, I'll be high, like, oh, how am I gonna do my laundry? Oh my god, I gotta fold all those clothes. I gotta put the dishwasher. I mean, the detergent in. You know, who am I to do laundry? You know, who am I to use that water? You know, like, I just get freaked out. But for some reason, when I do edibles, I get like this, that giggly classic high that, like, you know, you see in movies where people are laughing and like, you know, just, it's so funny. It's like, that is usually how like smoking weed is portrayed in like mass media. It's like people giggling, right? People, you know, right? But like, I think for me and like most people I know, weed just makes them super paranoid, and like, it's just not fun. It's not. It's more just like, oh my god, oh my god, you know? Yeah. So I don't know. And the weed's so, I mean, again, it could just be my tolerance, but like, I used to smoke like full like joints and blunts, like full things. And I would get high. Now it's like I take a hit of something, I'm just like 10 times higher than I used to be smoking a whole blunt. But yeah, I don't know. I thought that was interesting. Mike Tyson's got edibles out of an ear. That's hilarious. I'm really trying to think what could be a comp to me. I guess a comp would kind of be like in the future. This is so wild. But, like, I'm obviously Chinese and Puerto Rican. Wouldn't it be hilarious if, like, I got so famous and big, then, like, if someone's Chinese and Puerto Rican and you told someone, they'd be like, oh, so you're a Camacho. Like, that mix would just be called Camacho, you know? That would be something. Anyways, all right, so another article here. This is more on the sad stuff, but, like, Diddy, who, as I'm sure you guys know, is going through some trouble. He's being accused of sexual assault, rape, and sex trafficking, a lot of just horrible things. Apparently Monday he returned to Instagram. He posted on Instagram for the first time. So Sean Diddy Combs has returned to Instagram nearly a week after a federal investigation into his homes. On Sunday, the Bad Boy Entertainment founder shared a carousel of photos on Instagram of his youngest child, Love, 1 year old, whom he shares with Dana Tran. And then the caption was, "Happy Easter from baby Love." So obviously this is like, you know, it's one of these articles where it's like, is this news? It's news because he's going through, like, he's basically like canceled right now. The Homeland Security of Investigations, is that what you call it? Homeland Security Investigation Agents searches Los Angeles and Miami homes on March 25th. And so he's in a lot of trouble. And, you know, he posted on Instagram for the first time, which is like, it's very interesting to me that, like, you know, and he turned off the comments, so obviously, because, you know, oh boy, like, imagine if the comments were on, the stuff that people would be commenting. But it is interesting. It's like, who, like, at that, if you're being investigated for like a major federal crime like this, and you're like, you're being canceled, like, why do you have to go on Instagram? Listen, it's like you do what you want. Social media is your social media. Like, you do with it what you please. And but I just feel like if I was, like, being investigated, like, that would be the last thing I'm doing is going on social media, right? But it's interesting. He's going through all this stuff, and he still feels the need to, like, I gotta post an Instagram pic, you know? I gotta let people know what I'm doing, you know? So, I don't know. I just find that kind of weird. The whole thing is horrible, you know? I haven't talked about it in the podcast, but he's facing multiple civil lawsuits, including rape, sexual assault. Combs has denied all accusations against him. But there's sex trafficking investigations going on. So, yeah, he posted on Instagram for the first time, which is just kind of weird to me. I would just stay silent if I was going through something like this. Here's something that annoys me, though. So, obviously, when the Diddy stuff's coming out, you see it trending online. That's usually where people kind of start finding out about things. You see things trending on Twitter and or whatever, Instagram, right? I just, this isn't just another one of these reasons why social media to me is so disgusting. So apparently, as Diddy's being, like, canceled, of course, when someone gets canceled, right, or something comes out about them, what do people do? They go dig through all their stuff, right? So I don't know who it is. I guess they're called internet sleuths, or just, you know, trolls, or just people with no lives. Like, they'll just go through someone's entire Twitter, or, like, you know, they just do literally, like, an investigation to see what other stuff they can find, bring back so it can get clicks and all that stuff, right? So apparently, as he's getting canceled, and then people are going back through all his stuff, this video, this Instagram Live resurfaces of him and LeBron talking. And then LeBron was talking about how he basically goes, there ain't no party like a Diddy party, which is obviously, you know, if he now you hear that, sounds horrible, because Diddy is known for having these, parties where there's, like, freak offs, where there's, like, apparently he's being accused of, like, having gang rapes and, like, sexual assault, just weird stuff, right? So this video from 2020 comes back, and LeBron, yeah, ain't no party like a Diddy party. And now everyone's kind of, like, going after LeBron. People are like, I expect nothing less from two sellouts. That's what one person says. Another person goes, where'd it go? I can't find it. I just had it here. Whatever. So people are, like, now giving LeBron garbage, you know. Oh, here we go. One person tweets this from 2020. No, yeah, 2020. And someone writes, oh, nah, Bron, I'm sorry, you've been excommunicated. This, and someone else writes, this is why Jordan will always be the GOAT and Kobe's the closest second. This is nastiness. If Bron is part of that weird stuff, I hope he gets exposed. And it's just like, okay, here's another one. Expose them all, doesn't matter who, no one is immune. Okay. First off, it's like, listen. I don't know. Listen, like for all, there is a chance that LeBron was at these parties and knew what was going on. There's always a chance. But if you're just a rational human being, don't you see this thing that surfaced, that's being resurfaced, and LeBron saying that? Like, does he give any indication? Has there been any rumor? Has there been anything that he's not just a regular good guy? Like, hasn't he been married to his, like, high school sweetheart, right? Has he ever been accused of saying anything wrong, doing anything wrong? Like, the only thing people really hate him for is when he did the, the announcement on when he was going to go to the Heat, and everyone thought that was kind of a tool bag move. So other than being a tool bag, right, like, does he have any indication he's a bad guy, you know? It's like, dude, so at the time, obviously Diddy wasn't going through all this stuff. So it's like, if you're hanging out with Diddy in 2020, like, you know, unless you are, let's say you're actually taking part in that actual stuff. But if you're just a celebrity, like, talking, like, and you don't know him like that, and maybe you go to some of his parties that, like, I don't know if you know, like all these celebrity parties and these, like, mansions in LA or these mansions wherever. It's just like they have so many people attend. And probably all like, you know, it's like a cock swinging contest. Like look at my mansion. Look at all these people I have, right? You invite all these different celebrities there, right? And it's like, yeah, I guess if they're doing these freak offs and stuff, they're not doing that in those giant parties, right? They're probably, it's probably like an after party thing, a more of like a quiet, like, you know, I don't know, like a secluded like event of people that are also like, you know, deviants, right? So like LeBron was probably just like saying, it's like, I know Diddy. I've been to some of his parties. I've been to some of his, you know, events at clubs, right? We hang out like on a surface level. So he's just saying, it's like, oh, like ain't no party like a Diddy party, right? Because I'm sure Diddy is known for having amazing parties, you know? I'm sure someone's going to take that out of context one day and be like, this piece of shit said that. But yeah, like to kind of group him in with this like sexual assault. It's like, so everyone hears him say this and just goes, oh, was he a part of it? Oh, is he, we got to investigate him. We got to, you know, excommunicate him. It's like, come on, people. It's just like, I don't understand. Like, listen, like I'm on the other side of it. Like I'm a career. I don't know. I just don't understand why. Like, it's just sheepish, lazy mentality. And like, it's so funny. Like LeBron, like, you know, cause I deal with it on a very small level, like people writing hate comments, you know, people saying I suck, right? Like dealing with people's judgment. And like, I mean, why do you want to be so dumb? And like, you're putting this out there that you think that it's brand, it's just like hopping on someone. It's like, why do people love tearing down celebrities? Like Diddy is a different story. He's doing horrible things, allegedly, assault, all that stuff. That's horrible, right? So of course you want to bring someone like that down. But like the people are so quick, when there's no merit or base behind anything, to just shit on people. Like, what is this obsession with shitting on people, right? Like, I remember that Shannon Sharp was at some bottle signing event for his new liquor, his cognac, right? And he had some, like, you know, granted, like, very tight outfit on, right? He had, like, these joggers on, and they were pretty much up to his calves, like, the taper, the leg taper. And people were just like, it's circulating. People are like putting that the Toy Story dinosaur T-Rex next to it, like making fun of him, trashing him. It's just like, bro, you know how great this guy is? Shannon Sharp, LeBron, these guys are like greats, all-time greats. Like you could never imagine, you have not one ounce of greatness compared to this guy. And you're just throwing trash on them. I guess they just feel too comfortable because they know they're dog shit. They know they're nobody. They will never even be in LeBron's like airspace. They'll never be in Shannon Sharp's. They would never say that to his face, right? And then you're just behind your screen. So it's like you are so okay with like the averageness and the nothingness of your life that it's just like you're just going to trash people to make yourself feel better. It's just sad, man, you know? And like I'll say it's like, hey, could there be a chance? Sure, but I'm gonna put money on that LeBron probably went to some Diddy parties, like a lot of other people did, but didn't take part in the horrificness that's going on. You know, I mean, it's just really sad. Like LeBron's probably so used to it. He probably heard this trending, and he's just like, yeah, those you know trolls again. That's why, people don't understand why, like, celebrities go out in public and they want, like, sometimes, like, oh, sign my this, sign my that, and they're like, I'm good. It's because of stuff like this. When the general public, or at least what's out there, what people, the majority of people are making the noise, say, do this kind of stuff, they don't want anything to do with plebeians, you know? I'm in that category. I'm not saying I'm better than these people, but it's just like, man, it's just a bummer, man. And this is what it is online, you know? That's why I try to stay off it. I just try to focus on, like, what's really around me. Because, like, you don't... Like I said, man, like, no one would ever say this stuff to his face. So, that stuff really annoyed me. Real quick, let's talk about this weird article. Apparently, this just happened. Accused drunken driver torpedoes car off sidewalk before swimming to safety. And a sobriety test. So a 22-year-old Florida man, typical Florida, was drying out behind bars after driving. Man, the New York Post, great editor, great source of news. They can't even spell driving right. They spell drying. They spell driving wrong. Guy was driving out behind bars after taking a wrong turn and driving off of Miami Beach Waterfront Park and into the ocean on Easter Sunday. So he drives his car into the water, and then he swims out and immediately is met with cops, and they give him a sobriety test, and they arrest him for drunk driving. It's kind of funny. It's like, there's a part of you that hears that and goes, yeah, like if you drive your car off a cliff or whatever, and then it crashes, and it's like, there's a part of you that's a little bit like, give the guy a break. The guy just like almost died, you know? But I guess it's like, yeah, you're drunk driving. Obviously, you got to still go through the sobriety. I mean, I don't know. It would be kind of like, you plunge off a cliff, you're swimming, you're like, your heart's racing, you see your mortality, you see the light, right? You start thinking of a God, like, I think the weird thing, and then it would just suck to almost die and then just go right to jail, you know? Because, like, you know, I would assume at those moments before you might die, you're scared you're going to die, you're thinking, like, man, I got to get my stuff together. I got to get my ish together. I got to call my mom. You know, I got to tell that girl I love her. Oh, my God, if I make it, I'm going to change things. And, like, you immediately just go into a situation where you're screwed. I mean, this isn't just a normal. And listen, like, it could have been, in a way, it's a blessing. Because, I mean, this guy's, you know, he's driving in the raw. He's not even driving in a place that's supposed to be. You're supposed to be driving. He plunges off of whatever. He plunges into the water. I mean, he could have killed someone, right? Apparently, this is at 7 in the morning. So, yeah, people are doing their jog. People are, like, taking their kids to school, yada, yada, yada. It's like, I mean, it could have been way worse. He could have killed someone and went to jail for the rest of his life. So he got lucky in a way. But I don't know. It's weird because, like, I empathize. I don't sympathize, if that makes sense. Like, yeah, it's like, do you drunk drive? Like, you know, especially when you have something crazy like this happen. It's like, of course, you got to do the sobriety test and stuff. But there is something really sad about almost dying. And then it's like, you're going right to jail, you know? I don't know. I hope this is a wake-up call for this guy. I mean, it's the most Miami thing. Or, yeah, Miami, right? How am I not surprised? So funny, though. So it says that he swimmed to shore. So this guy swims. He swims to safety, and then he fails the sobriety test. Isn't that fucking hilarious, right? Couldn't you make some kind of argument that if you're swimming, right, you get out, and the cops are like, hey, we think you're drunk. You got to do a sobriety test and be like, dude, I just swam. I just swam to safety. Is that not enough? You know, he literally swimming against the current, right? Almost drowning. And then he could do all that, but he can't touch his nose, right? What is it? Was one leg up. Ah, Jesus Christ. What an idiot. It's probably his mom's car too. So she's probably pissed. Yeah, this guy looks, I mean, he's got an off-white shirt on. Just a typical dumb kid. He's got a $500 shirt on, plunging into the water. Well, at least he's a good swimmer, right? All right. So we're at 35 minutes. Let's get into some questions, baby. Guys, every week, I love answering your questions. Please send them. I usually put out requests on my social media platforms. You could just comment it. Or you can email them to me at jamescamachocomedy@gmail.com. Please don't feel weird asking me questions, even if it's a multiple questions. Some people have like wrote questions to me and been like, I'm sorry if this is weird. I'm sorry to impose. It's like, bro, I'm literally asking for questions. Don't feel weird sending them. And ask whatever you want. Because at the end of the day, if I don't like the question or if it's something too personal to me, I won't answer it. But guys, I want you to engage with me. You know, that's part of the reason why I do this podcast, because, you know, I got my online content, but like a lot of that stuff is like, you know, edited, you know, or it's me on stage doing an act. So it's like, this is the most authentic me you're going to get, right? So Yeah. Please, please send the questions. Don't feel weird. Seriously, seriously, don't feel weird at all. So here's a question I couldn't get to last week. Gabe asked me, have you ever thought about writing a treatment to sell to Hollywood on your unique life? Certainly, you're not the first Chino Rican to be born. But I don't know or recall any Chinese Puerto Rican comedians out there, and how your parents met and the whole mixing of the family dynamic. It makes for a great sitcom. The only Rican of mixed race I know is Freddie Pinch Jr., who is half Rican, half German. He did very well until his demons got to him. Yeah, rest in peace. But kid, you are comedy gold. You have a promising future. And if the questions were asked, forgive me. Again, no need to apologize. People are going to ask the same thing. You know, it's all good. I don't mind. I love talking about myself, so I don't mind answering the questions over and over again, too. Oh, cat's gone. Apparently, he didn't like your question, Gabe. But no, yeah, I have thought about, I have written like a pilot about my life. It was kind of like a combination of like me being like a new, like open mic, just starting out doing comedy while living with my parents. So there was that dynamic of like Chinese, Puerto Rican. And yeah, that was in there. But it was, a lot of it was just like me struggling, like to try to, you know, just get my, just start comedy. So doing open mics and stuff, you know. But yeah, so I have thought about it. I have written one. But I mean, listen, if they wanted to write a sitcom about my life, about my family dynamic, I obviously would be into it, just because, like, you know, who wouldn't want a sitcom? The exposure, the acting. Like I said, I always say, I say a lot, it's like, I love to do more acting stuff. I love to have like a recurring role on something. So if I could just, yeah, if I could have my own TV show, that would be insane, you know? It would be interesting. But I think I mentioned this before. It's like, there are so many other things I like talking about other than my ethnic background. So I feel like that a show like that would kind of get tiresome. But I mean, I feel like that's probably like a bridge you cross when you get there. I feel like any sitcom probably starts with like, oh, we're this wacky family, we're that wacky family, let's explore this dynamic, right? And it's just like, yeah, obviously it's like, you can't think about like, oh, how are we going to come up with all these ideas when you first start? You just do what you can. That's why like sitcoms and stuff, they'll do a season, and then if it does well, then the show will pick it up. But yeah, I have done it. Maybe someone will want to do that, where they explore my life a little more. Would be very interesting. But one thing I realized, like, you used to see that a lot, like sitcoms about comedians' lives. That was a big thing, like in the Seinfeld era. Like, that, dude, it was like, what, the 90s, right? Late in the 80s, I guess, early 90s, or just the 90s, where it was like every comedian, like every sitcom was just a famous comedian talking about their family. Like, you had Kevin James with King of Queens. Ray Romano had Everyone Loves Raymond. Is it Everybody or Everyone? Whatever. Then you had Seinfeld. So that was a big thing, you know? And there was a lot of comedians that got sitcom deals, but they never got picked up. So that doesn't seem like to be as big of a thing. I think now it's like a lot of reality TV. Yeah, I don't know any sitcoms out now. I see like a lot of like Young Sheldon, like that's a thing people like. But that guy's not a comedian, so I don't know. Maggie Lim, she asked, you may have addressed this already. Again, guys, no worries. I'll address it again. But who asked you the what are you question more? Old Asian women or Caucasian people? My kids are half Taiwanese, half Italian, French, something Northern European. Wow. And we raised them in Maine. Wow, that's a very white area, right? Maine. A lot of clam chowder. A lot of lighthouses, right? Cold. Old Asian ladies are the most vocal, she says. Yeah, I would say that's pretty accurate. Like, anytime I go to like a Chinese restaurant, or if I go get a massage, right? Not to be stereotypical, but a lot of the massage places are run by Asian ladies. I guess a great example is like, yeah, if I go with my mom to like a Chinese restaurant, we're going out to eat, the Chinese lady will always like look at her and like in Chinese would be like, is this your son? And she's like, yeah. He's like, oh, not full Chinese, right? And she's like, yeah. He's like, oh, so handsome. Like, what did they say? Because I understand Chinese. I never like let on that I speak Chinese because I don't want to start speaking in China. My Chinese is so bad. I don't want to embarrass myself. But they'll always be like, oh, what will they say? This is the Erzi Ma. And they'll, you know, she'd be like, yes. Full, like, what would she say? I don't know how she said, how do you say, is he full Chinese or not? But at some point, they'll ask, like, is he full Chinese? And then she'll say, whatever, like, no, blah, blah. And then they'll always say, like, oh, swaika, which means handsome. Oh, so handsome, so handsome. And it's very nice. But yeah, Caucasian, most white people, I think so many white people now are, like, so scared to, like, ask anything about what's your race, what's your identity, what's your gender. What's your, you know, so they, white people don't even bother, right? They're just like, hey, I want to keep my job. I don't want to get canceled, right? I just want to go home and bang my white wife. So, yeah, Maggie, just like you, it's a lot of Asian ladies, and then they'll call me handsome, you know, which I feel like is kind of funny. It's like, oh, he's half Asian, so handsome. It's like, what about the full Asians, you know? Does that happen where, like, if you're full Chinese, you go to a Chinese restaurant, you're like, oh, so handsome. Does that happen? You know? They're probably just trying to get a bigger tip by calling me handsome. But, yeah, one time I was getting a massage, too, and she asked me, are you full Chinese? And I was like, no. Ooh, so handsome. You know, which is nice. What if I wasn't handsome, though? Is it the background that's handsome, or is it just because I actually look handsome? That's how insecure I am. I'm already be like, you didn't mean it. But yeah, Asian ladies for sure. I believe this is Drea. Drea asked a bunch of questions, which I appreciate, Drea. She asked me, how do I feel about astrology? I'm a Leo, and I don't know anything about astrology. I could give two craps about it. I'm a very, like, I don't want to say science-based guy. That's not the right word, but I don't know. I don't believe any of that stuff. I feel like a lot of people use their astrological sign as excuses to act a certain way, or they even use them as like a way to like dictate their life. You know, like let's say like, oh, I'm a Leo. That means I'm brave. But like, and then they'll be like, oh, I'm brave. I'm going to say what I want. I'm going to take charge. But it's like, what if you're not that type of person? You know, like people that are Scorpios. Oh, I'm a bitch. I stink. It's like, you don't have to be a bitch, you know? Well, it's because I'm a Scorpio. That's just who I am. It's like, maybe, what if you're a nice person? Like, do you have to? You know what I mean? But then other people will, like, act like pieces of crap and be like, well, I'm a Scorpio. That's just how I am. The sun, the moon, the light. It's just like, nope, you're just a biatch, you know? So I don't really listen to that stuff, you know? I know people are super into that. I got to be honest, when, like, people ask, It's usually women. I never really hear about dudes asking, but they'll be like, when girls ask me what my astrological sign is, I always kind of take that as like a kind of a hitting, like they're hitting on me type of thing. Cause I think they're trying to see if like we're compatible, but it's like, if you're into me, why does it matter? Like what I am, I guess you're trying to get more info on me. You know, it's almost like asking me what my bank account is, you know, or what, like what my job is. Right. So you're going to ask me what I am, and then you're gonna go with those stereotypes of that sign, because I already know there's people like, oh, if you're a this, you can't date a that. If you're a Virgo, you should only date Sagittarius. If you're a Leo, you can't date, not compatible with Scorpios, yada yada yada. And it's like, bro, make your own goddamn rules, you know. So like, yeah, anytime a girl has asked me that, I'm just like, oh, well, she's, you know, I just assume they're into me and they're just trying to learn more about me. But just ask me about me. Why do you have to make it about signs? And like, so I'm going to get, like, I always feel that way too. Like, oh, I'll be like, I'm a Leo. Oh, it's never going to work out. All right. So that's it. I'm pigeonholed like that. You know, that's it. That's how you're going to make your decisions. Nonsense. Yeah. Oh, there's a girl I'm thinking about right now. I see her a lot just because we work together. Every time I see her, it's just like, what's your sign? What's your sign? What's your sign? It's like, I told you last time. And she's just like, oh. Every time I tell her, oh, I'm like, ah, I kind of hate you. You know, I kind of hate that judgy type of thing, you know, without getting to really know me, you know? I don't know. I feel indifferent about it, really, I guess. I guess leading towards negative. And then Drea asked me, top five favorite cities to perform at. Oh, man. Love Los Angeles because the weather, and usually you're performing on shows with, pretty big name people. So Los Angeles is good. I love Seattle. A lot of half Asians out there, so I feel kind of like comfortable. But I have a weird affinity for Seattle. Also, the crowds there, they're fun because like they're usually like, you know, Gen Z, wokey type of very progressive. And it's fun for me because like I can get a little bit edgy sometimes, and I like kind of freaking them out, but also like kind of bringing them back in. You know, that's fun. I do like performing in Tampa, Florida. Because, you know, they're the opposite. They're usually more conservative, more fun, more rowdy, more drunk. So it's fun to sometimes just perform for people that aren't just, you feel like you could just say whatever and they understand you're joking and they're just having a good time. Man, five cities. New York City, obviously, great. Because there's a bit of an aggression out here. There's a bit of a show me what you got. You got to bring your best stuff. People here are educated. And they don't got time for BS, so it really forces you to bring the best out, your best jokes, your best ability. It forces you to just, like, be really good. So I like New York for that aspect. So we got New York, Seattle, L.A., Tampa. What's another one? Where am I going to Arizona? I don't like Arizona. Arizona is just, especially, it just feels very conservative. Arizona just feels like one of those places. Like, I don't know. I don't want to generalize, but like last time I was there in Arizona, I was doing shows, and I feel like anytime I did race jokes, people were laughing at the wrong reason. Like, if I do race jokes, I want to hear ha ha, not like hell yeah, woo, goddamn right. You know, you don't want to hear that. I'm looking back at my calendar now to see where we can, where else I like playing at. Toronto. Toronto was okay. Dallas was okay. Colorado Springs, yeah, it's okay. Let's just go with those four. Miami was fun too for the same reasons as Tampa. Crazy party atmosphere. Yeah, nothing really jumps off the bat right now for that fifth one. So let's just go with those four. I'm sure the more I travel, the more like I'll find another place. Yeah, I'm backlogging here. So let's just say New York, L.A., Seattle, Tampa. Those are my favorite cities. Do you prefer acting for film or television? I'll take any at this point. I can't really be picky with that. They're kind of the same. I guess the thing with a movie probably feels cooler because it's like, you know, it's gonna come out. Movie, you could see it in the movie theater. You'll tell people I'm in a movie. Sounds definitely really cool. I mean, saying you're in a TV show sounds cool, but being in a movie, actually, you know, you just think about like, you know, cause all the really, really famous directors and all the really big actors do movies. So movies are definitely like film. So to film is definitely more grand, right? TV's obviously a big deal too, but TV, I don't know, both. I would say both. I will say this though, like in terms of just the labor, film is way more labor than TV because TV, they have a lot of these like they negotiate a lot of these contracts for like CBS and like Fox where it's just like you can only work like, you know, a certain amount of time. If you get to that certain amount of time, not only do the actors get paid a crazy amount overtime, but so do like the PAs and the production people. And for the most part, TV, since they do film so much more and it's like, you know, season after season, they really stick to that. So usually if you film like a TV show, you can probably be expecting to be on set for anywhere from 8 to 12 hours. If you have a small role, you're probably going to be there for like 8 hours, like a normal work day. But for film, I mean, no one's telling like Martin Scorsese or Quentin Tarantino what to do. So these guys, you know, if they're feeling it, they'll just shoot for 17, 18, 20 hours a day. It just, yeah, it can get really crazy. You remember filming, usually it's like, all right, it's going to take place over a course of 90 days. So they're just trying to get everything done. And sometimes if things go over, it could be more demanding. But yeah, I prefer acting in general. Both are fine. So yeah, film, TV, please. I auditioned for both and I'm not getting anything. Drea also asked, what's one of your biggest pet peeves, red flags on a date? Oh boy. You know, I was on a date recently. I guess this isn't a red flag, but this is something I was, I'm very easygoing and like, I'm young, right? So as a young guy, you go on dates, you know, I just finished my 20s. You're usually just like, is this chick hot, right? You think I have a chance with her to sleep, you know, we're going to sleep. That's all you're really thinking. You're not thinking too much of like, is this going to be the person I'm going to spend the rest of my life with type of stuff, you know, or taking this seriously. For me, most of my dating life has been casual, right? But I remember I was on a date with this girl and she said she had no job, right? Now, she did explain, was like, I just got laid off. I'm looking for work. I was like, okay, that's fine. But it was the first time I heard that. And I was like, oh, is that right? So you got no money right now. Like, I was like, I don't want to be in a situation where I'm just taking care of you or paying for everything. Now, like I said, I preface to say, it's like, she just got laid off and she explained, like, you know, she's looking for work and that she also, it was actually fine because like she was like saying like she got, she hated her job anyway. So, you know, we're talking about like, I told her, it's like, hey, that's probably a blessing in disguise that you got laid off because you would have been miserable there. And now you can actually work towards something you want to do. But yeah, it was the first time I was kind of like, hey, you got no job. Like what the hell are you doing? You know, not to her. I just, in general, I was just like, yeah. So I think if I was going on a date with someone and they had like no job, I'd be like, unless they're like, I'm looking for work or I just got whatever, I'm doing whatever, taking a year off to find myself. Like, if they didn't have like a legit reason where I felt like they were actually passionate about it, I definitely would be like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm not trying to get in a position. I'm not trying to be anyone's caretaker here, you know? That's how I know. That's how you know I'm getting mature. Like, that's actually something I was, like, back in the day, if some girl was like, I had no job, I'd be like, you know, I'll work on those boobies. You know what I mean? I'm trying to be clean, you know? So I'm like, I was going to say something more dirty, but like, I'm trying to be cleaner on this. But anyway, so I guess like not having a job would be a red flag. I guess for me too, because this is more, I guess red flags are just tailored around what your needs are, right? So for me, it's like, I really need to be with someone that gets my hustle. So I think if I was dating someone that actually said, like, I hate my job, because I've had that a bunch of times where girls, you know, I'll go on a date, someone says what they do for work, and I'll try to be like, oh, that's really neat, and they'll be like, oh, I hate it. Yeah, it pays the bills, and I just, like, that always brings me down, because, like, I love what I do, I'm obsessive with what I do, I'm trying to be great, and when I hear someone say that, it does kind of make me think, like, maybe they're not going to get me, they're not going to get my obsession, my hustle, my passion, because you're not experiencing, you're not understanding that now. You're literally going through life like just trying to get by, just hating what you do to pay your bills, which is like what most people do. But for me, that's not my mindset. So I say a red flag for me would be, is someone that like doesn't like what they do. Yeah, that would be kind of tough for me. I guess another red flag too would be like if they have like a severe drinking or drug problem, you know, like we're on the date, next thing you know they do a line of blow right in front of me, you know, that would be fun, but then I think my mind would immediately switch from like dating to like, oh, let's just have a one night stand here, or let's just have fun, because I got enough on my plate, right? I don't need a drug addict blowing up my phone. So yeah, I guess a pet peeve, so red flag would be having a job they don't like. No passion, I guess. Pet peeve. For me, a pet peeve, it's not a big pet peeve, but I don't like when women try to split the date, you know? Especially if it's like, if I asked you out, it's a first date, just let me pay, for God's sake. There's nothing more awkward when you're like, I'm trying to take care of the bill, and then you try to pull your card out, you try to insist, and then the servers kind of stand there, just like what do I do? And this is kind of annoying too. It's gotten to the point where things are so progressive, which is fine. But it's like sometimes I'll have my card out first. No, let me check out. Let's go split. Let me go. And they're like fiddling, and the guys just stand there. Then they'll pull out their card, and then they'll just take both of them. I'm like, bro, just take the card. It's right. Just grab it. Well, you know, it's just like, dude, just fucking, oh, gee, I curse. Just grab the card. Like, I've had times, too, where it's just like, take the card. The girl goes, I insist paying. And the server, because I guess they're trying to be progressive, they just stand there, not moving. And they'll wait for her to take the card out. Then they'll take her card. Then she ends up paying for it, you know? I'm just like, bro, did you not hear what I said? You know? So I don't know. That stuff, like, I want to take, like, if it's a first date, if I ask you out, just let me take care of it. Let me take care of it, you know? I hate the so what I here's what I do now. I always do this thing now. Now I just, like, at some point, I'll just give the server my card. And like, hey, here it goes. Here you go. Just put it on this. I don't wait for the whole, let's get the bill, get the card out. When I go, let's get the bill, it's like, just give me we're done. Let me sign. Yeah, I mean, it's just like, just stop, you know? Just stop. I don't even if it's a bad date. If it's a bad date, I still insist on paying. If I never want to see you again, I still insist on paying. It's my gold watch. It's like, just here's free stuff, go. Never want to see you again. Yeah, just, maybe it's more of a peeve on the server. Just take my car. It's right here. Why do you give a crap who's paying it? Just take the goddamn card. She really wants to pay after, she can Venmo me, all right? Just get the hell out of here. That's a pet peeve, too, when you do split and just someone Venmos you. And you're just like, I've done that before where someone's Venmoed me. No matter, even if I told them, like, I'm good, I Venmoed them back, then they Venmoed me back. We had, like, a Venmo tag, and I think I blocked them or something. I don't know what happened, but I ended up, what's your biggest green flags on the date? Green flag would just be, like, the opposite of my red flag, which is like, you have your own goals, you love your job, you're passionate, and you don't do cocaine on the table. Green flags. Dre, you have one more question here. I'm going to save it for next week just in case, on the off chance that no one decides to send in questions. So I saw at least one question next week. Also, we are getting to about an hour in, so we're going to wrap up here. Your question is great, though, Drea, so I'm going to save it. I'm an hour in. I'm a little bit winded from yapping, so I want to give you a full rested vocal cord next week. Let's get into the motivational quotes, guys, of the week. I got two here. These are really good. There's no specific person that said them. It's just like a combination of like stuff I've been hearing on podcasts and just like reading online and kind of things I kind of put together. So anyways, you can't feel sorry for someone who puts themselves in a situation, including yourself. Now, what I mean by that is just like, listen, like some people get in situations. Listen, you have to own your decision making. You have to own, like, there's nothing worse than when someone's going through something and they're like looking for sympathy, you know, online. Oh, can you believe this happened? You know, oh, this person, it's just shut up. You know, it's like, look in the mirror first before you go online posting for sympathy, you know? Like, even like, there are obviously things that happen that can get you into situations, but in any situations, like, you still, if you're there, there's a reason. It could be, and you're always a part of it. You literally are there, so you are a part of it, you know? If you get into a relationship and, you know, things go south, and of course, it's like, oh, my partner, this partner, that. Like, you can't blame everything on them. It's like, you still are. You put yourself in that situation. You stuck it out to the point where things got bad. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense? Right? If you're doing a job you hate, and you know, oh, I hate my job, I hate my boss, blah 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 blah. It's like, that's all fine and good. Like, people can feel bad for you, but like, dude, it's like, at a certain point, you're going to keep complaining about it? Are you going to do something about it? At a certain point, it is your fault for sticking in that situation. Well, I got bills. I got this. Totally fair. Totally understand it. But hey, as you're continuing to work at that job, maybe look for a backup option of something you would actually prefer to do. I'm just saying, man, like, there are plenty of comedians that can't do comedy full time. I mean, it's hard to do comedy full time for anyone. But if you're doing a normal day job, then you just do comedy on the side. Like, you know? There's no excuse. So yeah, it's easy to just, it's easy to feel bad for yourself. It's easy to feel like, woe is me, I'm in this situation, right? Same thing too. It's like, if you're like, oh man, like, let's say you're complaining about like, that you don't, you're not in the shape that you are. It's like, hey, you're in that situation because of you. There, you could diet, you could exercise, you can fix your situation. You know, it sounds harsh. You can't feel sorry. You can feel sorry for people who put them in situations, for sure. But man, if someone's looking for sympathy too much, that's really annoying, you know. And in any situation you're in, you're there partially because you literally carry your legs. You open your you choose your words. You put yourself in there. You pick that position. You pick that place, right? If you live in an apartment that you hate, yeah, listen. And then maybe you need to make more money to make rent, but it's like you put yourself in that position. You put yourself there. So instead of blaming your job, instead of blaming everyone, instead of blaming the neighborhood, you know, just work hard, get yourself out of it. I don't know. It's, you know, do I sound privileged saying that? It's just very easy to blame other people, blame everyone else. People always forget to look inward sometimes, you know? And it's also, it's not just like, hey, blame yourself. It's also like, hey, give yourself more credit that you can actually figure out something, you know? It all rests on your shoulders, you know? And the second quote, this one hits hard. The worst thing is wasted opportunity. You may never get it again. Yeah, I mean, that is the saddest thing in the world, man. I mean, you know, we all know someone who's, I don't know, exceptionally talented. It could be a sport, it could be an art form, it could be anything, and whatever. They don't have the work ethic. You know, I've gone through this where I have had friends that are amazing people, get into drugs. And man, you just think of it like, you know, I was talking about I had my childhood friend visit me recently. We're talking about a friend that passed away when we were younger. And just great, one of our best, like part of our group, one of our best buds. And we were just like, as we're getting old, you know, he passed away when we were 20, 21, something like that. Yeah, like 21. And now we're in our 30s and it's just like, we just think about what he could have been. Who he could have been, what he could have become, and just like the wasted, but like, it's so sad. It was sad at the time for sure, but as we get older and as we're doing things with our lives and as we're pursuing our dreams, our careers, we just think like, man, this guy never got to do that, man. You know? And same thing with like sports. It's like someone super talented. You know, I know comedians, super, super talented, super hilarious, but they don't have the work ethic, or they got something else. They got some demon chomping at them. And they just can't focus solely. They're so distracted by other stuff. And it's just like, man, if I had the talent you had with my work ethic, I would be unstoppable, you know? That's my biggest fear too, man. Wasted potential, wasting opportunity. Sometimes I feel like that, man. Because I talk about, on my Patreon last week, I talked about my weaknesses. My weaknesses are I'm a bad networker and I'm a bad communicator. And, like, listen, I have all this potential. I have all this talent. I have all this drive. I have this work ethic. But if I don't communicate that, if I can't network right, I may never be able to realize my full potential, you know? And the last thing you want, and it's just like, you know, be up at night thinking, what if, you know? And, like, what was it last week? The quote was, how many todays do you think you'll have? It's like you never want to be, like, when you go, you want to think like, I said all the things I wanted to say. I didn't hold back. I tried hard, you know. You don't want to be thinking like, you know, I was joking, but when that guy plunged into the drunk driver went into the water, he was like, he's probably thinking like, I got to call my mom. I got to, you know, say I love you to my sister. I got to reconnect with I got to tell my ex I love her, right? I don't know why I just made it all about loving different types of women. But like, oh, I got to go for that job I wanted, right? It could be all these things, right? You don't want too many of that when you're times are getting bad or times like it looks like it could end, you know? So if you whatever it is you do that you think you're good at, like I said, it's like I get people need to pay their bills and you know, it's a tough economy and stuff, but it's like as you're working, like that other time, like no one's working 24/7, right? Most people work 9 to 5. What about 9 to 5, what about 6 to 8? You know what I mean? You sleep, okay. So let's take 8, let's 6 to 12. What are you doing 6 to 12? If there's something you're good at, work at that. Don't go out, get drunk, don't go out, waste your life. Don't go out and, like, you know, not go for it. Stop wasting time, man. You know, there's so many different, like, it's became about talent, right? Oh, wasted opportunity. Yeah, just, man. Yeah, that's the saddest thing in the world, man. I mean, there's a lot of sad things. There's the movie Toy Story 3 is very sad. what else is sad? The Baltimore Bridge falling, the lives lost, that's sad. You know, all that stuff's sad. But wasted potential, wasted opportunity, greatness that's not tapped into. That's also just tragic, man. So, yeah. On that note, guys, please do me a favor. I'm not going to ask you to like, share, comment, none of that stuff, or follow. Just whatever it is you do, man, whatever it is, your whatever opportunity you feel like you have, just take it. I get all these questions. I get this question, you know, about, oh, I'm thinking about starting comedy. I'm thinking about going to my, I've been writing stuff. I'm thinking about going to my first open mic. All right, that's great. That's great. You're feeling that way. Just shut the hell up and go out there and do it. How many more days of what if? How many more, oh, I wonder how this could go. Oh, and just like numbing yourself because you're too scared. Well, I'll put it off. And then what are you going to do? What are you really doing? Oh, I can't go this week. I'm not ready. Oh, I can't do it this time. I got my family thing. Oh, I'm just going to, instead of like, the next time, let's say, the next time you want to do something really bad that you keep putting off, that you keep saying is not the right time, if you dare to get, like, blacked out drunk, or you dare to, like, get high, or if you dare to, like, screw your ex again, or get into that, sleep with that fuckboy, if you dare to do those things that numb you and hold you back, then shame on you! Shame on you! Stop it. Stop it. Look forward. Don't waste any more opportunities. Don't waste any more time. God damn it, life's short. When you die, I don't want you to have any regrets, all right? Okay. It's a weird thing to yell at someone, right? Wouldn't that be hilarious? You're out in public, you see a dad yelling at his son, when you die, I don't want you to have any regret, God damn it. When you get your, when you get hit by a car and you're lying there and you see the light, And the ambulances are trying to pick you up. Like, I don't want you to be thinking any regret. You know, oddly, as crazy that would be, I would kind of like respect that guy. All right, guys. Hey, if you're a Patreon member, I'll say this last plug: Patreon.com/James Camacho. $5 a month, get an extra podcast every Friday. If you're not a Patreon member, I'm gonna see you Tuesday. Hopefully, I'm benching 225 by then. Other than that, man, I got my goals. Watch hours, bench press. I want you to work on your goals too. I'll see you next week. Send your questions. Sayonara, adios.